You're listening to Panel Borders, which is an extract from Resonance FM's weekly show about the world of comics. I'm Alex Fitch, and this is the first of two podcasts looking at the Streatham Library Graphic Novels Readers Group. The Streatham Library Graphic Novels Readers Group meet every 2 to 3 weeks and talk about a graphic novel that they've chosen from the library's collection, and look at every aspect of the graphic novel, from the literary aspects to the way it succeeds as a work of art. I attended this week's meeting and also went to the informal gathering at the pub afterwards, where I talked to Pedro from Streatham Library, who's one of the organisers of the group, and three of the members who came along to chat a bit longer after the formal meeting had ended. Following that, there's the first part of a complete chat held between myself and the other members of the Streatham group, looking at Charles Burns's graphic novel Black Hole. Tony, how long have you been coming to the group?
I've been coming since about last October, and we started reading Preacher, which was the first thing I really ever read, which was quite good. I'd never read Preacher before, so I quite enjoyed doing that. And it's strange that the number of people varies from week to week so much. That's what always surprises me. I don't know about anyone else. So I've learned a lot about them, because I always thought they were more about sort of superheroes and that type of thing. But we've read things like Blankets and Black Holes, which are sort of about relationships and different things like that. So it's been quite good.
What's your favourite?
So far I've enjoyed Mass, which is what we've read tonight.
Actually, that's your favourite?
Yeah, so far. Because I've not read that one before, so it was quite good for me. We've got to finish the second part for next week or next time.
Dick and Harris.
I think it's also been an explosion, though, to us in the comic scene. Especially the underground comics. I mean, you've got some fantastic places like the Underground Comic Store in
Camden Market.
That's the one. Yeah, have you heard of it?
Yeah, I haven't.
You know, I can't recommend that place enough, to be honest. But it's really, there has been a big explosion, in terms of sort of comics. And have you experienced this yourself amongst the level of interest and the amount of people coming to these things? And do you think has it helped, you sort of persuade a bigger crowd that comics are slightly more relevant, I suppose, or...?
Pedro?
To be honest, the biggest change I see is really inside Lambeth Libraries as a corporation, if you like. You know, there's people actually that work there. Now they know the Graphic Novels Reading Group, because, every couple of weeks they're getting new posters about the upcoming meeting, And they know me, and they know Pat, and they know our love for comics. And so that kind of... it was a bit contagious, I think. And I think we used deliberately that initial energy, to get other people to become, a bit more excited. But, as with all things, there's still people that don't like them. They don't really enjoy them that much in the library or whatever. But,
some of the new people who come, is it as simple as that they see a poster for the group in the library and they come along?
I think that's actually how we got most of our members, I've tried sending posters to comic shops and all that, but basically it's Lambeth Library's members that see a poster somewhere and decide, why not? I like comics, so why not turn up once and see how it goes.
How about you guys? How did you first hear about it?
David?
I can't remember. No, really. I think I was probably word of mouth, literally. I saw a poster in the library about it, and I saw what they were reading, so I thought that would be interesting to go to that. But I looked it up on the internet as well, and first of all I saw the poster in the library. That's the way I found out about it.
I heard about it on the internet, so I think the reputation is growing in that respect.
Good. I'm happy. I think as with all things, you need to spend time with it. You need to make it, that it's there. People know we're running, throughout the year. There's some gaps, but we're here during the holidays. We're here during Christmas. We're here, we're here, basically.
I've heard rumors as well that you guys have people come over to speak to people as well.
Yes, we've had we've had David Lloyd and we have David Gibbons and a few of the big names.
I was actually quite impressed by that, because I didn't realise when I first came up. But are you guys, do you have anybody on the card soon? Any big names coming up soon?
Not really. We would like to do something, perhaps in September or October. In September, because October is Black History Month, so there's going to be a lot of stuff then. But it would be nice to have, you know, some indie people coming in and showing their stuff, and also,
I suppose you could always combine the two and get like Warren Pleece to talk about Incognigro, which is a new graphic novel that's just come out. But
that would be nice. Yeah, you know, we try to keep it, you know, as diverse and as open as possible. You know, and one of the great things about this medium is that usually its creators, its authors are usually very open and very, you know, easygoing about things. They don't ask for a lot of money. They're quite welcome to speak, you know, to 40 or 50 people, you know, and that's great. And they have fun. I genuinely think they have fun. And I mean, we obviously love having them around.
So. We're all head shaking.
I mean, in terms of, say, the new titles that you've bought since the group's been running, have any of them surprised you, the choices that people have made, or the things that they've asked they thought they might like that you've bought in, and, you know?
Yeah, actually, just today I was looking to some at some figures, and, you know, Ring of the Nibelung went out, I think it was like 16 or 17 times. It's volume 2 in 8 months. And more or less the same number for volume 1 in 9 months or 10 months. So that was quite surprising, because even though it's an amazing book, you're not expecting, you know, such type of book, you know, which really doesn't focus on superheroes, which isn't mainstream, basically, would have such a large audience.
Just explain what it is, because I hadn't heard about it before.
Well, basically, it's Peacock Russell's adaptation of Wagner's opera. You know, and so you have a really dense book, because it's condensing 17 hours of opera in like 500 pages or under 500 pages. So there's a lot of content, a lot of story in there, and a lot of referencing as well. So I wasn't expecting, you know, such a title to be as popular as it's revealed to be. Yeah. So it's good to know that, you know. And that was one of the picks. The reading room.
Do you think the posters help? That people suddenly see these posters for this book and they're like, what's that? Find it, or do you think it's just because it's popular in itself?
I think so. But, you know, I like to think if you have a lot of diversity, people will eventually broaden they say, okay, I've really enjoyed superheroes.
I've read everything else. There's nothing
exactly
but this one.
And I really like this artist, or I really like that author, or I just love that cover, and I'm just going to, you know, try it out. Because if you don't have the titles there, how can they experiment with new things, you know? And I mean, one of the things I really love about this group is that people that come here, they're not just comics fans. They read, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, it ranges from science fiction to horror to, you know, non-fiction, you know, fiction, whatever. They like films, they like theater, they like music, you know, politics, you know, art. A bit of everything is here, and that's one of the reasons that I really, really enjoyed the group. And that was really one of the things that I wanted to, you know, experience in this group. Have not just about comics, but comics being a bit like the glue that then you can bring all the other things, all the other themes together, because that makes sense in the library, you know. You have all these different aspects of human culture and human existence and perception, you know. And comics are, I think, a brilliant vehicle for all that.
Well, it's quite funny. You also, because there is a live journal account for the reading group, so that's sort of another way people can get posters and stuff about it.
Yeah.
Called Lambeth Loves Comics.
Mm.
But you do have reviews, though. You're quite good about this. You write quite a few reviews.
I try to post, you know, one or twice every week or so. Put a couple of reviews there. I mean, it's just a way of keeping me, you know, into the comics scene, and, you know, making the group a bit more lively, and, you know, it's a good place to bounce ideas around, you know.
Yeah, it's good.
A good place to learn more about comics, because I'm not just interested in comics as a reader. I want to go a bit more to the meat and potatoes of it, so to speak.
Unfortunately, both the meeting that I recorded, the conversation of Black Hole, and the five of us here tonight at the pub, are all guys. I mean, when it comes to like the gender bias of the group, I mean, obviously Pat is one of the two founders, but how many women normally turn up over the, you know, say, how much has it fluctuated over the last few years?
Well, women don't turn up that much. We usually have one, two, I think the maximum was like probably three women in a session for like other five guys or something like that. But it's a shame, because I think a feminine voice is always so, you know, fruitful and, you know, so fresh. in the debate.
So. I mean, I was very encouraged last time. We had three women last week, I think, and two of them were new. And so obviously there are new readers coming, and I mean, even if they don't come to every single meeting, I guess it depends on the books you're discussing, that perhaps they might not be into Maus, but they might be into The Ring of the Nibelungen or whatever.
Right. Yeah, definitely. But then again, it's end of June, people are starting to go out on holiday, so these next couple of months are going to be a bit hectic in terms of numbers, because lots of people are going to go away. If it's not in end of June, it's going to be August or July or September or whatever. So I think that's the main reason right now why we don't have more people attending.
Over the past couple of years, I mean, Dave, have you got any particular favourite books that you've discussed in the group?
Not really, but over the years, I used to read superhero comics and British comics. Nowadays, I read superhero comics. I suppose the same people would read pulp on a trip. It's just like entertainment, escapism. And I read more comics with more serious content. Not as much as I'd like to, because you actually have to sit down and read it. Which sounds a bit weird to anyone who doesn't read comics. You look at pictures, don't you? You don't read it.
I think it's interesting talking about, when you're saying the actual act of reading a graphic novel. Obviously, this group incorporates discussion of artwork as well, which is something that doesn't take place in other reading groups. I mean, a recent title that we looked at was We Three, and in that, I think the art in particular is something that came up a lot, because it tells the story in a particular style that's different to a lot of other comics.
Definitely. I totally agree with that. And that's one of the great advantages of this genre, because, I mean, to be honest, the sense that we use the most is our vision, and yet we talk so little about the way we see the world through it. And I think comics are very important, because that's a central theme, even if it's on the background, in a way. A central theme of the medium, it's images, and it's obviously so interesting how images and story interplay in order to convey meaning.
That'll do nicely.
Next, here's the first part of a complete chat held between myself and the other members of the Streatham group, looking at Charles Burns's graphic novel Black Hole.
What did you guys think of the artwork?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It really appealed to me.
Oh, yeah. I remember where I really liked him for. Was it Elbora? Elbora?
Elbora, yeah.
Elbora. I really fell in love with him. Elbora.
Yeah.
The business. Definitely.
About Mexican wrestling detective.
Yeah.
It reminds me of... Has anyone else read Strange Haven?
No. I can't remember.
It's not the actual artwork, just the panelling layout and... Not necessarily the themes, but just the story development. It was quite slow, but quite beautifully in depth. And getting from different perspectives.
Well, the story of it is really good.
Yeah. I loved it. I
you
really
don't feel we'd be shortchanged in this, as opposed to the other comic which shall remain nameless.
What, the one last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, the awful one, which Pedro made us read.
Oh, come on, it's a zombie thing. He would have turned up if he didn't
Moving
have a zombie
on.
Read.
Zombie's good.
It's good, it was a good...
Well, I think it's quite interesting to compare two very different kind of horror comics.
And this is darker.
Is this horror?
Yeah. It's about death and mutants.
It's pretty
and
scary.
It's What's dark that? And it's scary. I wouldn't class it as horror.
Did you find this?
No. Compare it to Society, the film.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's comparable.
I'd put it down.
Society.
Oh, definitely. I mean, this
is that horror, really?
This certainly belongs to that
it's
whole
fantasy.
Kind of 80s tradition of body horror. Like Society and David Cronenberg's films, where people sort of mutate due to, science actors.
When they did remakes.
Videodrome.
Yeah, Videodrome, exactly.
That sounded me thrown up.
What?
Now, when they did the remakes of, what was it, Shivers? Is it Slivers? Sliver.
Sliver.
You don't think it's a horror comic? You don't think it's
no,
a horror?
No, I found it disturbing, but I found it more moving than disturbing, actually.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Although, I think the way it moved was by disturbing you.
Yeah.
Not just
that, but because you were emotionally involved with the character, because you actually understood the issues they went through, and I'm being careful not to say stuff to ruin things for people who haven't met it, but the characters as they're developing understanding it and what's going on, you identify with the instant analogous ideas that, you know, yes, I was 17 and at that party and I fancied so and so and I wanted to do that, but there's an obvious reference, you know, with what's going on and what hasn't gone on.
I found it a bit too... When I first time I read this, it was it was a while back, it was like I had to put it down and sort of give it 2 days rest and come back to it, because it did remind me of stuff from my youth, and it was like... and you just get depressed. No, not the actual... the fantastic... not the fantasy elements, but the social elements. You know.
I found a girl scared in the woods once.
I'm curious what you said there, because he said he didn't think he found it moving just through being disturbed. He found it just generally moving because of the characters, and...
yeah, I mean...
You didn't think it's that...
I think it has horror elements, but I don't think it's the dominant. For me, it's a very, very emotional book, and that's really was what was guiding me. Even the scary bits, you know, they didn't really scare me because I was just taken by the emotion behind it, and it wasn't fear that he was trying to show. I mean, there's bits where there's fear, obviously, but it's about that claustrophobia and that feeling of loneliness, even when you're with your kind, so to speak.
But,
you know, that was really what was taking
like
me.
It's two different stories in there, really, isn't it? They sort of merge together.
Hmm.
Well, what you just said, Pedro, about the emotions, I mean, that's what depressed me. It wasn't the horror, you know, like the horrible faces and mutations. That was like, that's like fantasy element. It's almost like evil clowns, zombies. Everyone likes evil clowns. Well, all the bad boys do. Evil clowns and zombies, yeah? And yes, so that the horror aspects were a bit disturbing, but it's like I said, a dark emotion, and the emotions were very dark, and they do relate to stuff that happened to me when I was 17, 18, 20.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes,
well, I suppose it's kind of doing the Buffy thing where they're taking the high school milieu and then accentuating people's problems by giving them a fantastic twist. If someone doesn't think they can be seen, for example, in Buffy, they turn invisible. In this, if someone thinks they're being alienated by their peers, they literally become like an ugly mutant. The way that perhaps someone with a physical sort of with a mental disorder might see themselves when looking in a mirror, by sort of externalizing that alienation and turning them into the other.
I didn't actually think about that.
I
saw about the whole referencing, you know, to the other side. I completely forgot about the self-reflection aspect of that, but you saying that, you know, the looking in the mirror, it's an obvious thing, but yeah.
Sorry, can you explain the point? I don't really get it.
Well, I suppose that the fact that this is obviously set in a world where mutants, you know, live in woods and whatever, and the characters are quite happy to interact with them,
but
they're mutants because they're taking on the roles who are people who are just ostracized by their peer group, but instead of just still looking normal, their otherness is actually manifested physically.
It's like people's the inner ugliness, it's sort of manifested.
They're unconscious in a way.
I thought it was more about sort of sexual disease type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, that too.
It's part of it. It's about
not AIDS, because at that time you know, we didn't know about AIDS, but
it's informed by AIDS.
Yeah, well, I'm going to write it slightly. It's about like ideas. The idea that ideas and concepts and feelings can be like, he's comparing to the sexual diseases which are transmitted. And once they're transmitted, this is almost word for word, once they're transmitted, it's like you're changed forever. Like, oh, what, you're a communist socialist? You think these people should get welfare? No.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I heard Wasname talk about it. I saw his poor people. I thought, oh, you're a fucking communist. What the fuck, you know? Your dad, my dad, work for a living. You're fucking blah, blah, blah. The idea is transmitted. And you can't just get rid of them that easily. And, yeah, that's it, really. But the sexual... I think he used the idea of sexually transmitted disease and ideas and emotions and mutations, whatever, as a motive, I think. And it's really, really clever. Because it's obvious. I thought it was really obvious after a while. I might have read it a dozen times. Yeah. But I thought it's fairly obvious. But he uses it so cleverly. And he just uses it over and over and over.
Mm.
But it doesn't seem heavy-handed at all.
Yeah, that's the one thing which this could very easily become just moralistic, exactly. Or very easily over philosophical, but everything was kept in balance. And I guess, you know, as you said, Petro, the main driving force was the emotional aspects of the characters, I think, which then meant you looked at the whole other elements of the story set in the, you know, accentuated fantastical, but dealt with the emotions and followed the story. I mean, I was really interested and upset for when the character lost someone or did that or experienced certain ideas, regardless of whether they had a tail or weird face or whatever.
Because to me, in a way, this is a kind of a story of people trying to find love amidst their loneliness and their inner horror, so to speak. You know, and that's really what moved me through the whole story, is that, you know, I could only see, what I could see clear was like the beauty behind it all. You know, because in a way, it's strange, but because of this ugly thing happening to them, they're actually able to go deeper inside of them and to find something that is finally meaningful. So in a way, the curse, at least for some, becomes a blessing, becomes their liberation. And I think that's what I found very interesting about the story. So I didn't even, the word horror didn't even cross my mind throughout the reading.
Well, I think it's interesting, the fact that it is a comic, that there is this trope you get in comics over and over, that a variety of people get hit by radiation and then they develop superpowers. A variety of people, you know, are there when a comet passes through the sky and they develop superpowers. In this, a variety of kids all have sex, and then their sort of sexual awakening has a different biological effect on each person. One girl like sheds her skin, another person, like, you know, has terrible boils, almost as if their inner guilt, you know, is manifest externally in different ways depending on what their character is.
But I thought it was like they joined a particular group, like this one particular group, and then the others who haven't aren't sort of affected with them. About that as well.
But isn't there a scene where, you know, this boy's going to have sex with this girl and he knows she's infected and he knows that he's probably going to get infected as well, and he still does it. And it's like this, it's in a very weird way, it's a very romantic way of, you know, showing commitment. True love and commitment. You know, it's
really irresponsible.
But
it's a human thing. It's a human thing. That's what kids do. Hey, I know there's a chance of getting it. I know she's got a disease. Perhaps I won't get it. Yeah, it'll be okay.
No, he knew he would get it. He states to himself, you know, she's got it, and everyone knows in the environment, all it takes is one tiny little bit of spit, and you get it. It's not a matter of, oh, I was lucky. It's you get it. It's I touch them, you get it. It's the full-on ostracised aspect of society, and that's why it's so clear-cut.
The human thing, it's still a human thing. It's like, it's what
but
humans
do. But it's like, he's fully assuming himself, you know, is like, I don't care, you know, I'm willing to stake my life and, you know,
give a step into
the abyss, in a way, but actually find something, finally. You know, because suddenly all masks are gone, in a way, because instantly one is created, in a way, a mask at least for the rest of the society. And I found that scene so powerful, you know. And for me, that's what the book is about, you know. It's no holds barred, you know, I'm going to go all the way, it doesn't matter.
Your moment of emancipation, like, creeps me out completely. The idea that this guy could, you know, do this really sort of loving act and then end up, you know, crazy deformed, like a big slug or something.
But that's the thing, it's because he's able to transcend his own fears, you know, because he's believing in something bigger than that.
Are you talking?
That's where I felt, at least.
This concerns the narrative, I don't want to discuss it at this point. We'll come back to that another day.
We've already discussed most of the key points. Exactly. People have sex and get turned into mutants, there you go, that's the plot.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Someone falls in love with someone else.
It was a minor
and they
point,
shag.
So it's not really relevant to the story at all. Sorry, chocolate
spoiler.
Chocolate break. Right now, but as one of the things he does with the darkness and fantasy is like, some people find things in the woods, like little artifacts made by the homeless and dispossessed. And the thing is, I don't know about you, but I used to be fascinated by this sort of crap when I was a kid. I knew this alcoholic when I was working in a housing group. I just knew this alcoholic, and he got his house, he used to build icons out of things he found on the street. And
You go to some alcoholics and people with sort of mild mental illnesses, and they build frigging out icons in the house, and you're like,
between religious symbols.
Well, no, it wasn't religious. It was look. It was built like a religious symbol, but it's just stuff he found, junk he polished up, clean, and just arranged.
Smashed.
And I goes, what's that? He goes, oh,
hey,
I don't know. I just fancy doing it.
It's my scarf. Sorry, I just.
Yeah. No, it's not his scarf. It's a figment of his imagination. No,
I've been looking at months.
And what I found out later is that many drunks and people with mild mental illnesses, this is a symptom of, and just like. They do this occasionally. But I was fascinated by this. You know? What? But I was fascinated by all this. You know, like, people making sort of, like, artifacts.
Uh-huh.
Weird artifacts out of junk they found. And he does this, Burns does this, and his fascination with this, that comes across, you know, like, and stuff like the mutilations, the disfigurements and that. And when you're a young kid, it's like, oh, God, you see that old man with that big boil on his neck. Or there used to be a guy in Streatham who had this wheel, big bump in the middle of his nose, and it was enormous, like a small egg. And all the kids, we used to follow him around, and he just chased us through. But it was like, yeah, we as kids, we're fascinated by this stuff. So I think it's very clever. He's gone for a lot of things that bring you back to you when you were quite young. You're going from a kid to being a teenager. And he's chosen a lot of things which, so I thought that's quite clever. Ha! I'm going to write that down.
For more info about the Streatham Library Graphic Novels Readers Group, about their next meeting and how you can join up, please go to my blog at www.panelborders.wordpress.com, where you'll find links and information about the Streatham group. In 2 weeks' time, there's a comics and zines convention being held in Museum Street in London next to the Cartoon Museum. Organised by Jimmy Gherkin, a small press creator, this is giving the opportunity of small press comics creators and zine creators to meet and discuss each other's work. There's more info about that at comicsandzines.wordpress.com, and again there's a link from my blog. The second part of the Streatham Library Graphic Novels Readers Group discussion of Charles Burns' Black Hole will be here at www.panelborders.com shortly. Thanks for listening.